Hello, Dale Partridge here. You're listening to an episode from the Real Christianity Archive. Veronica and I originally began this podcast under the name Ultimate Marriage as a resource for our online marriage mentor program found at ultimatemarriage.com. While our marriage program is still a critical part of our ministry, after about 30 episodes, we decided to change the name of this podcast to Real Christianity as a way to widen the scope of our biblical content. That said, these are some of our most popular episodes, so please enjoy and stay with us on the journey to bring the church back to the Bible. And welcome to Ultimate Marriage. Today we are talking about...
Is the Bible perfect, reliable, and without error?
Big conversation about the Bible today. Critical to your marriage, critical to your family, critical to your walk. So we're excited to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And... a couple notes just before we get started. One, if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll notice that we have my laptop here instead of the iPad. It's because the iPad's dead and we needed to get this show recorded. So don't mind the computer this time. If you haven't watched one of these episodes because you've listened to it via podcast, this is a YouTube show and you can also watch this just via YouTube. You can listen iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, all those things are available. One other point is, again, if you haven't left a review, those reviews, guys, are pushing our show out to the masses. We've had so many people find our show organically because of how many reviews we have. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for the reviews. You don't even need to write anything. Just go to iTunes and tap the stars. Super simple. If you write something, we will read it. We have a big announcement to make right now.
Uh-oh.
And it's not that we're having another baby.
It's not that.
We've actually been thinking about starting another podcast under Relearn Church. The reality is that we've decided we want to just have one podcast. We don't want to have two, Ultimate Marriage and the Relearn Church podcast. We really do believe God's call doesn't ever call us to compromise our family. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot to put out a show. And it's a lot to run Ultimate Marriage and Relearn Church. It's just a lot. And it's already put a huge, and also we pastor a church. Mm-hmm. So there's just so much going on. And we wanted to extend the scope of what we're talking about. We talk about a lot about marriage and family, but if you listen to the show, you notice that we talk about the church and the Bible and a variety.
Community.
Different areas. Yeah. And we want to talk more about theology and church issues and verse studies, cultural things that are facing the church right now and facing marriage and family. We're going to still talk about marriage and family, but we are going to change the name of the podcast.
Uh-oh.
So this podcast that you're listening to, titled Ultimate Marriage, we're actually going to just change the name and we're going to change it to Real Christianity. And we're doing that again because we want to have more scope and we don't want to have two podcasts. We're going to do this. We're going to make this announcement over the next few podcasts. This is episode number 28. So episode number 31 will be the first podcast under the new name. All the branding is going to stay the same. It's going to just literally change the name. You won't have to resubscribe. It'll all be in the same outlets. So you don't need to worry about anything. We just don't want you to be confused when you see our faces on that, you know, the pink, you know, image, black and white image of us.
With a new name,
mm-hmm. Because that's what we're doing here. And so the first 30 episodes will be found at ultimatemarriage.com and all the episodes going forward will be found
from 31 on
will be found, mm-hmm, at relearnchurch.org. So big conversation. We've sought some counsel on how to do that. And we just made the decision that I think that's the best thing because it gives us a wider scope.
Gives us more areas to talk about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're still going to talk about marriage and family a lot.
Totally.
Because, mm-hmm, it's the core of ministry. So we're going to talk about the Bible today.
Yeah, we're going to get into the Bible today. Dale is going to be doing a lot of the teaching today. But I will be here to give my two cents and help facilitate some of that conversation.
And you're actually opening with this.
And I'm going to open. Okay. So we're talking about the Bible today. What is the Bible? The Bible is the record of God's word to mankind.
Mm-hmm. This is like a simple question that a lot of people just haven't thought about.
Yeah. What is the Bible?
Yeah.
So super simple, but The super simple answer is the record of God's word to mankind. So that being said, how do we come to our faith in Jesus Christ? In Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah. So there's a huge connection point right there is that our faith comes through the word of God through
by hearing it.
And that's what the Bible is God's word to mankind. And so this is, there's some connection points that we're going to make here.
Yeah. So what does the Bible say about the word of God? So in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
This is like one of my favorite scriptures. It's so manly.
It is.
But you should memorize that. We should. That's not our memory verse for today, but it's a good one just to memorize that.
Yeah. So when you hear this, the scripture and these, you know, what is the Bible and how do we come to our faith in Jesus Christ and what does the Bible say about the word of God? Do you feel prepared to defend why you believe that the Bible is true? We have to remember that so many people think that it is so weird and it's so strange that we live our lives according to this thing that they think is just this ancient book.
Totally. It is. It's like,
it's abnormal to the culture.
Yeah. Like we're, our whole lives are based around this book. People think that's very strange.
But in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. So Dale, does this really mean that we are always to give an answer to just anybody and everyone who asks?
Yeah, this is a really important question. This scripture, 1 Peter 3:15, that word defense, to give a defense or an answer, that's the word we have for apologia is in the Greek, apologia, give an answer, defense. And this is a great question Veronica's asked. Are we just supposed to give an answer to anybody who asks? Actually, no. And the reason is this. There are two types of questioners. And there are honest skeptics, people who actually are honestly skeptical and they want to know
more. They're curious. They want to learn.
Yeah. And then there's the dishonest skeptic. And the dishonest skeptic, Matthew 7:6 talks about it. Jesus says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. There are people sometimes who aren't actually curious. They're just there to...
It's almost asking a question in a way to harass you.
Yeah. And Jesus does this all the time in the scriptures. He's discerning if it's an honest skeptic or a dishonest skeptic. I think it's Pilate that asks him a question and he goes, are you asking or are you asking on behalf of somebody else? And so understanding the questioner is critical about this. So... when somebody says to you, and this is so critical for marriage and family, so this is absolutely connected, just for those that are paying attention right now, you need to be able to teach your children this stuff. This is basic Christianity 101. For some reason, the church has not done the greatest job on teaching us how to defend our own faith, probably because America hasn't really been in a place to defend it for so many decades, centuries, but we are now. So when somebody asks you, why do you trust the Bible? Or somebody asked me that. Like, why are we banking eternity and our moral compass on this ancient book? My first response to these people is usually, why not trust the Bible? You see, a person can only really doubt something if that person has something stronger or more solid to believe in. And so I go, if you don't trust in the Bible, what do you trust in? And most people... you know, usually respond with science or their intuition or, you know, whatever historical evidence they have of their own life. What they're really doing is they're creating their own paths, their own religion, their own paths to God. Next, I ask them, can I tell you why I think you should consider the Bible? Like why I actually have so much faith and belief in this book. And if they say yes, I give them this answer. First off, I believe that truth as a category does exist. It does exist. Truth exists. Truth's like unadulterated, pure, 100% truth does exist. And we as humans have the ability to evaluate if something is true or false. And I'll give you an example. If I'm wearing black shoes, which I am right now, and I say, you know, I make this statement, I'm wearing black shoes, and that person looks down at my feet, and indeed I am wearing black shoes, that is a true statement.
It's a fact.
It's a fact. That's mm-hmm. a true statement. So truth does exist. We do believe that truth exists, which backs up that statement that we can evaluate these things on our own. Now, we can determine if something is true or false by two ways, and I'm going to give you these two ways, and we do this all the time. If something is true, we're going to see confirmations, accuracies, reason, harmonies. Ultimately, things are lining up if something's true. And we use this discernment all the time. If something is false, we are going to see contradictions, clashes, failures, conflicts. Ultimately, things are not lining up. And we do this, again, all the time. So with that logic, if you just take that to the Bible and you actually fully consider it, you read it, you actually study it, you see what people are saying about it. It's a book with 66 books written over a 1,500 year period with about 40 different authors. And it's all telling this really cool, unified, miraculous story that leads up to Jesus Christ. Mm. And I think it's actually more amazing that it wasn't one author, but that it was many authors. It actually works in its favor of showing how incredibly miraculous it is that there's a unified theme with 66 different books, 1,500 year space, and 40 different authors. And so if the Bible, again, using that structure, contradictions, accuracies, truth, false, using that structure, if the Bible made several claims, like one after another, that came back false in history, that came back false in philosophy, that came back false in theology, that came back false in archaeology, you could see kind of a level of systemic contradiction and failure. And those clashes would give you valid reason to believe that the Bible is not true. And that's a pretty, you should be able to do that. The problem is that's not the case. The harmony and the accuracy of the Bible is so amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's really incredible.
Yeah, it's just amazing when you start looking at it and studying it. So there's no ancient book that has aligned so accurately with ancient archaeology. Like there's archaeologists that are totally atheists that use the Bible as their cornerstone document on finding ancient relics. And so it is absolutely like come up over and over and over again. I can give you 100 examples. We don't have time. Speaking of time, time is based off of the Bible. Anno Domini, AD, the year of our Lord. It's 2019 because of the time of the Bible, based off of that, based off of Jesus's life. There's no other book that has predicted the future over and over again. If you look at the prophecies of Daniel and how they land on top of Alexander the Great and just these incredible studies, you can start to see this like prophetic schema, this connection point that is just so good that you start to see the supernatural. So there's just so much there behind the Bible. And you need to be prepared to kind of defend this from so many different angles because the Word of God is constantly going to be attacked.
Yeah, you can talk about the unarguable fruitlessness of fruitfulness.
Yeah.
Of following the Bible. Like in other words, divorce and adultery or racism and human trafficking. All crime is a result of people who have chosen not to follow the Bible.
Yeah, it's like it's self-evident. You follow the Bible and the world works better.
Totally. Totally. It is the world's bestseller, the Bible. It's the world's bestseller. Billy Graham once said a really great quote.
He said a really great quote.
he said it weird too. A really great quote. And it is, it has been ridiculed, burned, refuted, destroyed, but it lives on. The Bible is the anvil that has worn out many hammers.
Yeah, there's, I think the numbers are in the billions, maybe a couple billion copies of the Bible is what is, you know, I think it's just an estimated number, but it is absolutely the world's bestseller, far above the Quran, far above any other holy, you know, holy book. The Bible beats them out.
Ultimately, when you see the miraculous element, the harmonies, the confirmations, the accuracies, like Del was saying, when you see the authenticity, this is why people can believe that the Bible is true.
Yeah, there's not like people, like there are people at Oxford and Cambridge and some of these incredible institutions, universities, the smartest people in the world that come to the same conclusion. The Bible is true. Mm-hmm. Look up John Lennox. This guy's like one of the smartest people on the planet. And these, the Bible isn't for dumb people who have just like need something to lean on, is what a lot of people say. No, the Bible lines up with science. This is a beautiful, beautiful book. There's a quote that I heard not long ago from an older pastor. And he says, even the dust of this book is gold. And so just the idea that the Bible is so valuable, it's so incredible.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. Many of you don't know, but Ultimate Marriage is actually a ministry under our nonprofit organization, relearnchurch.org. Our mission at Relearn Church is to bring the church back to the Bible. And secondly, to relearn what it means to be the church in the world. Now, we do this in four ways. The first is we train Christians how to plant biblical house churches. And we do this through in-person workshops and online media. The second is helping Christian married couples have biblical marriages. Now, this podcast, our retreats, and our 12-week online program is part of that effort. The third is biblical parenting, and the fourth is biblical manhood. As of now, we only have enough budget to build out the first two initiatives, but our hearts are yearning to create more content, more courses, more programs, and more events. But we need your help. If our ministry has been impactful in your life, would you prayerfully consider supporting Relearn Church financially? From $5 per month and up, every little bit helps. And if this interests you, you can make a tax-deductible donation at relearnchurch.org/donate. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/donate. Thank you for your consideration. Now, let's dive back into the show.
But you can't defend what you fully haven't accepted. And that's what we're talking about today. We should have done this as like our first episode. Because this is so critical for the rest of everything that we've ever said. This is a podcast about biblical truth.
This is foundational.
Yeah, I don't open up a study. You've seen me. How many times have I given this message?
Oh, many. Every time we start a Bible study or host an event, this is generally the first topic that you'll speak on.
Yeah, you need to land the plane here.
If you don't believe that the Bible's authoritative, if you don't believe that the Bible's true, then nothing else matters.
Yeah, we can't have a Bible study or to have a podcast about the biblical doctrine.
Yeah, because there's no foundation to go back to.
Yeah. So, do you believe the Bible is true? Now, you might think that's a dumb question, but the current state of the church should tell you otherwise. It's not a dumb question.
No.
50% divorce rate, 68% of men are looking at pornography on a regular basis in the church. 78% of the next generation kids are leaving the faith by the age of 18. 78%, that's a big deal, guys. Only 11% of Christians have read the entire Bible. Less than 5% of Christians have shared the gospel, are sharing the gospel with one person per year. Come on, guys. It's a proper question. Do we actually believe this thing, or is it just some book that has some good principles that's convenient when we need it? You know, and again, now just because you believe it doesn't mean you behave it. And that's what a lot of people, oh yeah, yeah, I believe the Bible's true. But there's no evidence in your life. And so I want to talk about that. I want to help you guys land the plane so that you can defend the Bible and glorify God. And so every married couple should know how to do this. You have to be able to teach your children how to do this. Why do you believe the Bible is true? So when it comes to the Bible, the New Testament makes a few monumental claims that we need to confront. And one of them is 2 Timothy 3:16. I'll let Veronica read this.
All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
This is the memory verse for today. Core scripture, when it says that the man of God, that word man in the Greek is anthropos, which means mankind, human. So man or woman. So do you believe that scripture is true? Mm. Like, do we believe that all scripture is breathed out by God? All of it. This is an important question. You know, a lot of people will refute this by saying like, well, hey, you know, this is, Paul is talking about the Old Testament scriptures. He's not talking about the New Testament scriptures. Old Testament scriptures is breathed out by God, but I don't know about the New Testament. Did Paul really not know that he was writing scripture? I'm going to tell you he absolutely did, and I'm going to tell you why. In 2 Peter 3:14-16, it says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also with the rest of the scriptures," capital S. Peter looks at Paul's writings as scripture. The early church views Paul's writings and Peter's writings and James' writings and John's writings as scripture. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul writes this statement. He says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Okay, Paul knows he's writing scripture. So when he says all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work, he knows that it's the New Testament canon as well. He knows that the words that he's writing are authoritative, and he's talking about those scriptures too. And when it says that the man of God may be complete, I want to ask you guys a question. Do you look at the Bible as the means in which you can find completion? In completion in your understanding, completion in your wisdom, completion in your marriage, completion in your parenting, completion in your business. Is the Bible where you look to complete yourself? And the word complete means perfect, whole. It means nothing needed to be needed to add to make it complete. So second scripture, and then Veronica's going to jump back in here in a second. Second scripture that's kind of a twin parallel with the Timothy verse is Hebrews 6:18. And this is said a few times in the scriptures. It is impossible for God to lie. Mm-hmm. So we say that all scriptures breathed out by God and that it's impossible for God to lie. We got a serious statement right here, a big claim that we have to ask ourselves if we can believe scriptures without flaw. Because if God can't lie and all scriptures breathed out by God, then that means scripture must be perfect, reliable, and without error. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because a lot of people will doubt certain parts of scripture, but they won't doubt the gospel. Like they go, oh yeah, like, hey, the gospel, hey, saved by grace through faith.
Yeah.
You know, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. We love that chapter. But when it comes to this unpopular stuff, this uncomfortable stuff over there, yeah, I don't know if that stuff's inspired. And I go, so you'll take the gospel from the Bible as if it's perfect and inspired, but then a few verses later where it gets tough and uncomfortable and inconvenient, you won't take that. Mm-hmm. That's cherry picking the scriptures. You go a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You created your own religion. It has nothing to do with believing that all scripture is authoritative.
Yeah. Take what they like, leave what they don't.
Yeah. This is very common in the church today. Take the gospel, leave out the hard stuff. It's a buffet approach to scripture. So that's really what we're talking about.
Yeah. And an even bigger question to ask is, are you willing to believe in Jesus, but not Jesus's belief in the authority of scripture?
Yes.
Because Jesus totally believed that the Bible is true.
Yes.
He believed that the Old Testament was historical fact, and he commissioned the apostles to write the New Testament.
Yeah.
And during Jesus's 3-year ministry, he quotes several different I think like 78 different verses from 16 different Old Testament books. And those books are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Psalms, Isaiah, Jonah, Micah, Hosea, Malachi, Zechariah, and Daniel. He calls these references the scriptures, the word of God, and the wisdom of God.
Jesus, how crazy it is it that we're going to believe in Jesus, but not Jesus's position on scripture? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't believe in Jesus and then not believe, like, take his position. Jesus absolutely believed in the authority of scripture. And even the hard passages like creation, the most references from Jesus in his ministry are to the book of Genesis.
Yeah, from the beginning.
Yeah, from the beginning. He references the flood. He even references Jonah and the great fish. If you struggle with Jonah, well, you know what? Don't believe in Jesus, because Jesus believed in Jonah. Mm-hmm. He talks about being in the belly for 3 days. So this is one of those things that you go, are you going to believe in Jesus and not his position on scripture? It's a crazy idea. So you and your heart need to determine if this book's true. You know, sure, and do so in proper historical cultural context, using hermeneutics. I just finished an advanced graduate studies class on hermeneutics at Western Seminary, which is the science and art of interpreting scripture. And so you want to do it properly. You know, there's things that are descriptive in the scriptures, and there are things that are the prescriptive in the scriptures. Polygamy is descriptive. It recorded that polygamy occurred. The Bible doesn't endorse or tell you, prescribe you to be a polygamist. And so you got to learn how to determine those things. And we're going to bump into some passages in this podcast that are hard, difficult, mm-hmm. unpopular, uncomfortable. And if you haven't landed the plane on if the Bible's true, then you're going to struggle through mm-hmm. this. And you might have some questions. How was the Bible put together? Was it just a bunch of dudes in a room that decided how to put these books together? No, that's the short answer. You can research that on your own time. But find those answers. It's actually quite beautiful how the Bible was put together and how divinely inspired it was, the process, and how it was really the church that put it together, and determined if it was authoritative, not a group of people. But you need to answer these things in your heart, because the heart cannot exalt what the mind rejects. So if your mind is like stuck somewhere, you struggle with a piece of scripture, your heart will never be able to exalt it until your mind can go, yeah, I get it. I believe it. I understand it. And so do you view this book as an instruction manual of good principles, or do you view it as the word of God? It's authoritative in the way that you live. And I'm going to close with a couple things here, is that we can't forget that all God's doctrine is motivated by love. Mm-hmm. So even the hard stuff
is because he loves us.
It's because he loves us. Mm-hmm. We know this as parents, right?
Totally. It's not fun sometimes to discipline your child or to correct them.
Or to give them instruction.
Mm-hmm. But you do it because you love them.
You do it because you love them. Mm-hmm. His commands in scripture aren't really demands. They're really signs of affection. And we got to look at scripture through that lens. And remember, as I always say on the show, that we are the beneficiaries of obedience, not God. We are. Like, it's our best interest to follow the scriptures. Every time we try to rub against scripture, we try to prove God's laws maybe don't exist or that they're not valid. We don't end up breaking God's laws. We end up breaking ourselves. And we end up proving that God's laws exist for our benefit. And so I promise you, when you bump into something in the scriptures that's hard, it could feel hard to be obedient, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But what's harder than being obedient?
Not being obedient.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to believe that the safest, the most joyful place we'll ever be in life is under the instruction of Jesus Christ and his word.
Yes.
Every time we move out from under his will and every time we move out from under his ways, life is going to get harder.
Yes.
And it's going to get more confusing and it's going to get more painful.
I mean, just look at any couple that's had a divorce, if you just followed what the scriptures said, it wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. And so a quote we say often, your marriage has 100% chance of success if you just do it God's way and not your own. Mm-hmm. And so are the scriptures authoritative in how you live? This is a short teaching on like just this idea.
Yeah. It's a much more broad of a topic, but we had to shorten it for the podcast.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. but land the plane, because if you're not here, you're always going to be emotionally driven, mm-hmm. and not just driven by the word of God. Because, dude, I'll tell you, there's scriptures in there that are hard for me. I go, Lord, really? Like, you want it that way? Like, that's not what I want to do. That doesn't feel right to my flesh. I think it's Galatians says that the desires of the spirit war against the desires of the flesh, so that you do not do the things that you wish. It's that our flesh is an enemy of the spirit. Mm-hmm. And so when we bump into these hard things, it's like, oh, I don't want to do that. But the word of God, I promise you, it's easier to follow than to not follow. Memory verse for this episode. Veronica will read it.
2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
Guys, you got to memorize that scripture. It's mm-hmm. so good. It's so important, especially when in times of doubting. So again, this was actually a faster show than I thought.
Yeah.
This was good.
Our notes were like really long, and I was like, this is going to be a really long show. I don't know if we're going to have time. But
yeah, we went through it really quick. So we got a couple more shows coming up. We're going to do a good Q&A probably for the next episode. Hit another episode talking about some marriage stuff. And then we're going to get ready for, again, branding this podcast with the new name, Real Christianity, which just is going to, again, broaden out that topic. You don't need to do a thing. Don't worry about that. If you want to see the notes of this episode, you can just go to ultimatemarriage.com, go to the podcast page. This is episode number 28. All the show notes there, the scriptures, all that kind of stuff is available for you. And that's it. That's it for the show today.
Until next week.
Until next Wednesday. Thanks for listening to Ultimate Marriage. Take care.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. Dale and I want to quickly tell you about one of our favorite things to do with other couples, marriage retreats.
Yeah, a few times per year, Veronica and I host 15 couples at a private resort here in the Pacific Northwest. We spend 3 days learning about the Bible and having an intimate discussion time. It is a ton of fun.
The best part is it's an all-inclusive event. Every couple gets their own cozy cabin and fireplace. We have a private chef cooking incredible food and desserts and a variety of activities available for couples to just have fun with each other.
Yeah, we can't tell you how life-changing these retreats have been for couples. So as you can tell, these retreats have very limited space. But if you're interested in spending a few days with us in the mountains here in Oregon, then please apply for one of our upcoming retreats. Just go to ultimatemarriage.com/retreat. Again, that's ultimatemarriage.com/retreat. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ultimate Marriage. But let's not end here. Join Veronica and I on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, where we post daily tips and lessons on how to build a biblical marriage. And for those of you looking for more, consider joining our 6-week marriage mentor program, where we disciple couples on how to walk out the Bible's instruction for husbands and wives. You can find all that and more by visiting our website at ultimatemarriage.com. Ultimate Marriage is a listener-supported podcast and a companion ministry of relearnchurch.org.